Hello and God bless you, everybody. This is Pastor Chris and Pastor Carol, and we're back with you again. Another wonderful week, and it's time once again to talk about being King's kids, understanding the Father's heart. It has been such a wonderful time together. And what an awesome journey discovering who we really are and what God has really done on our behalf and how he feels about us, the way he really thinks about us. And I'm still going from our last time of letting the Lord build my house. Are you? You're still there, Lord, to build my house, establish my house, bless my house. It's really awesome. And today we're going to get into some of the reasons why that prayer is so important and why standing strong on that understanding, why it really is just such a vital connection for us and the generations to follow. Well, for those of you that might be sitting in on this session for the very first time, the past few weeks we've been talking about being King's kids and what that really means, and with this being session number 10, yeah, welcome. We always begin our times each week with this very special prayer and proclamation. So you can look at it on the video screen, or you can read along with us in your Fruitful Lifestyles notebook, those of you that have one. Right in the front of the book, let's read together and pray this together today. It says, Lord, I pray that the word today would find good soil in my heart. I reject the spirit of offense. Where the light of your word exposes my sin, I do not take offense. I will repent and turn to you, my heavenly Father. I reject condemnation. Your word says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. This word does not come to condemn me, but it comes to heal me. I reject accusation. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And this word does not come to accuse me or abuse me. This word exposes Satan and his lies, and I choose to believe and receive the truth. God says in his word, blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. For many prophets and righteous men desired to see what I see and did not see it, and to hear what I hear and did not hear it. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against or miss the will of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with me, your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word today.
Lord, we thank you today for this awesome opportunity you've given us just to share this word one more time, Lord, to bring words of life and healing to your people. And Lord, I thank you now in this very moment, Carol and I, we decrease that you would increase, Lord, in this place. Yes. Speak, Lord God. We are your servants. Lord. We're here to hear you and to receive, to be healed and changed forever. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's continue on. This is King's Kid, part 10. Yeah. And man, been waiting for this one. It won't be before you very long, but let's get right to it. From John, the 14th chapter, the 18th verse, Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And we have been talking all along about how the Lord is helping and really getting us delivered from the orphan spirit, that mindset and that way of living that says, you know, that where we start acting out and living as if though we have no parent, have no power, have no protection, have no provision, and therefore we have no purpose. And so when you live like that and start making decisions like that, you're treating God as if though he's not your father. Right. He's just some deity, some being up there in the heavens somewhere, some an impersonal force that just comes in and out of your life. And I call him if I need him, and I really don't expect him to be there, but I'll do it anyway. And if he doesn't come through, then I'll just take it on and I'll do it myself. And so as the Lord has been helping us to get delivered and freed up from that mindset and that attitude, one of the scriptures that he took us through was Proverbs 19, verse 20, which says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. And we took a time to look at that word counsel, which means the Lord's advice will stand. The Lord's prudence will stand. The Lord's purpose will stand. The Lord's plan will stand. I'm telling you, and the Lord's counselor, even those people that God brings into your life, they what they speak by the word of the Lord, that's what's going to stand. So you're able to distinguish. Very important to distinguish the difference between your own plans and God's plans. Yes. And that's in that process of deliberating, yes, which was part of that word for counsel, that process of deliberating and getting and resolving matters. That's what starts helping us to discern the difference between our plans and God's plans. Yes. I made this strong statement that everything that God shows you that needs to be done does not mean he wants you to be the one to do it. And I had to take us took us to the New Testament example of that was John the Baptist, who actually said out of his own mouth that I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me. In other words, John recognized the reality that certain things he didn't have the power to do,
right,
but the one coming after him, that's the one who was going to do it. Even though God showed him, he saw the need,
right,
for the people to repent, for people to turn around, for that they needed to have healing and deliverance. But he said, I can only baptize you in water. I can bring you to a place of repentance and recognition that I need to change,
yes,
but I can't bring about the change. And so we talk about how many of you, you've been trying to operate and move in something that you weren't called to do.
Right.
And you've been need-centered and need-oriented and need-driven.
Yes. Even victim's mentality,
yeah,
driven.
Yeah, because there are many people who are victims of things. They went through certain things in their life, and so they therefore feel like they need to go back and get others and rescue others that are going through right now what they've been through. But that still is not the same thing as actually having a calling of God,
right,
upon your life, the plan of the Lord upon your life. I've mentioned a couple of times that we have spiritual daughters who have, you know, they made the mistake of abortion, and for a while they felt like they needed to go back and they needed to have a ministry,
right,
you know, and
right,
dealing and ministering to other women. But once they got into it, they found out they weren't called to it. It was
right,
just something. It was something that God had delivered them from, but
yes,
they wouldn't necessarily have a ministry in that area, their ministry. And one of them in particular is married now,
yeah,
but she found out her ministry is with her husband,
yes,
and her husband is an awesome, fantastic businessman.
Yes.
She's not even, they're not even operating in the church setting. So I'm telling you, you got to get hold of God's plan,
yes,
for your life, and not just go from what I went through it, so that automatically means I'm supposed to go back and rescue others,
yeah,
who are going through what I've been through. And so the Old Testament example that we went through on that was King David himself. And that's where things really got exciting, didn't it? As we showed you how David had a desire to build a house for the Lord.
Yeah.
And but the prophet Nathan, and even though the prophet first told David to go and do that with all that was in his heart,
yeah,
which is just like that Proverb 19, many are the plans in a man's heart, but who says that, but the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. And so the word of the Lord came to Nathan the prophet to go back and tell David, no, you're not to build me a house. It's time for me to establish and build your house,
yes,
David. And so even though David had that great desire and wanted to do that, he submitted to the word of the Lord that it would be his descendants that would build the house. So even though David wanted to build and establish God a house, God said, no, David, it's time for me to establish your house. So David submitted and said, okay, then Lord, build my house. Bless my house. He just said it. Bless my house. Build my house. Establish my house. And then David did the next thing. He prepared,
yes,
his descendants to be the one to build a house for the Lord. And then we share with you how David sold into a work and a plan and a vision that even though he knew he would not live to see it, he still knew that it was necessary for him to prepare his seed.
Right.
And so we kind of ended it last time with us talking about stop trying to build a house or a work or a ministry or a church for God, but allow God to build your house.
Yes.
Allow God to establish your house. Allow,
right,
God to bless your house.
Yes.
And part of what we want to share with you today now as we get into what it really, I've been waiting for this one to get to you, want to show you the ultimate king's kid, and that was David's actual descendant, one of his sons, Solomon. Because one thing that all of us here must get a hold of is is allow God to give you the discernment of what season that you're in.
Yes.
Because you see three things as we looked at those particular at David's life. That is, A, you have to answer this question. Is it time for God to build my house? You know, is it time for God to build your house? I have to answer that. Mm-hmm. Or is it time to prepare your seed to build God's house? In other words, some of you, has God already established and built your house, and now it's time for you to be getting your seed ready. And then there are others of you, you're completely on the other end of this. You are the descendant. You are the actual next generation that's supposed to be receiving the plans and the prosperity so that the house of the Lord can be built. I believe that there are a number of us who are in that position. I know that Carol and I sense that we are in that place, even as being pastors.
Yes.
You know, from one sense, we are parents. Yes. Who God has built our house.
Yes.
and even still building our house.
Yes.
And establishing us so that we can send forth our children. But at the same time, we are descendants.
Yes.
Who are in the place right now of receiving.
Yes.
The blessings so that and the prosperity and the plans and the design so that we can actually build the house of the Lord.
Yes.
To do the plans that he actually gave somebody else.
Yes.
It wasn't even in our heart.
Right.
We've said that to you a
yes.
number of times, that it was never our plan to pastor a church.
Yeah.
It was never in our heart to have our own ministry, but it was in God's heart. And
yes.
some plans and things were passed on to us.
Yes.
That we didn't even ask for. And I believe that that is the ultimate of what it means to be a king's kid.
Yes,
let's look at First Chronicles, the 22nd chapter, beginning at the 5th verse. I'm going to have Carol just to read this for me. Read verses 5 through 19. And I want you to look and see how God really sees us today as David relates to his son.
Now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it. So David made abundant preparations before his death. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord. 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond measure, for it is so abundant. I have prepared timber and stone also, and you may add to them. Moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodsmen and stone cutters, and all types of skillful men for every kind of work. Of gold and silver and bronze and iron there is no limit. Arise and begin working, and the Lord be with you. David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore, arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord.
Isn't that awesome to see that? Here is David actually speaking to his son and telling him the tremendous preparation that has been made. Now, I want you to see this for yourself today.
Yes.
It's the principle here. Yes. Here is a king talking to his son. Remember, all these past few weeks, we've been leading up to this point that we are king's kids. Now, here is a king speaking to his son and telling him, now, it was in my heart to build the Lord a house, but the Lord has told me, I'm not the one. You are the one. Listen, king's kid, you're the one. You're the one. That's what it means to be a king's kid. It means that there are certain things that God put in our forefathers.
Yes.
You ever wonder, some of you have been asking, why aren't we seeing breakthrough and revival and things in America like we see happening all over the world? I want to submit to you that this is one of the key points, and it's because around the world where there's still such a tremendous understanding about family,
right,
about receiving things passed down from your fathers. I'm not saying everybody's perfect all around the world.
Right.
I'm talking about outside of America, there's pretty much a family line continuing
family
of things.
Yes.
Because I've got to remember, America is just a little over, about 230 years old.
Yes.
But most other nations around
centuries.
The world are 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years old. So they have a lot more history and a lot more understanding about things passing down from generation to generation and actually receiving things from your forefathers, receiving things from your fathers, and just simply implementing plans and ideas and strategies that are handed to you. Here in America, there is great resistance,
yes,
and tremendous resistance and opposition to receiving things handed down to us from somebody else, especially our fathers and forefathers. I'm getting to something very important here. I believe that a major key for revival for us here in Fruitful Life, for revival for us here in Harrisburg, for revival for Pennsylvania and in this nation is going to be when the children that you and I turn our hearts back to our fathers,
yes,
and the fathers to their children.
Yes.
That's why this has been so important as we talked about king's kids. Listen to me, child of God. The ministry and the things that have been in your heart, part of the reason why it's not happening is because it's things that you put together. It's things that you orchestrated. It's like King David did to God. He said, I want to build you a house.
Yes.
But God said, no, I'm going to build you. I'm going to build for you.
Oh, yes.
And then I want to show you something else that happened. He said, it's your, and then I want your descendants to be actually be the one that's going to build the house. But I want to show you something that I can't say that not many preachers talk about it, but I do know it's something that often it's not heard. So I want to read to you what David, some of the things he actually said to his son. And listen, child of God, child of the king.
Yes.
As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him. Listen, the first thing he said is, know the God of your father. That word father is small print, meaning he's talking about me. First thing a father says to his son is, I want you to know my God. Know the God of your father. I served him all of my life. I've made lots of mistakes, but he's come through for me. He's disciplined me. He's corrected me, but he's encouraged me and he's built me. The first thing I want you to do is get to know the God of your father. He's talking to you, king's kid. Get to know the God of your father. Here's the reason why that's so important. He said, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. There's been a lot of casting off,
yes,
here in America. You wonder why ministries failed, families failed,
yeah,
things didn't happen. It's because he said, if you forsake him,
yes,
he'll cast you off.
Yes. if you continue in your ways and not his ways.
It won't work that way.
Yes.
Verse 10 says, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Do you hear me, King's kid? Here's a king talking to his son and telling him, God chose you to build a house. Now understand the father's heart. Father's like, I'm not in competition with you, son. I'm not trying to do something. I'm not still trying to live out my dream through you.
Right.
I'm not trying to force you to do something that just cause that's what I want you to do. Listen to me. That's what has happened.
Yes.
I know here in America, lots of sons and daughters have rejected the ministry and rejected the call on their life because they thought it was just something their parents were trying to make them do. But it wasn't your parent. It wasn't your father trying to make it. It wasn't your natural father trying to make you be a pastor, make you be a minister, make you be in fivefold ministry. No, here's this father telling his son, and he's a king, telling his prince, his son, God chose you.
Yes.
Let me put the emphasis in the right place. God chose you to build him a house.
Yes.
It wasn't me, because I wanted to build it. And God checked me. God corrected me and told me, no, not you. It's your son. So listen, King's kid, God chose you. And then listen to how a king thinks. Then David said to his son Solomon, the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasures, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house and of the treasuries of the dedicated things, also for the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. He gave gold by weight for things of gold, for all the articles used in every kind of service, also silver for all kinds of silver by weight. My Lord, listen to that. Then David gave his son Solomon plans for the vestibule. In other words, here's the next one. Okay, I got to see that. He gave his son the plans, the architectural designs,
the details.
Yes. And again, I know that here in this nation, I'm sure it's happened here in this city, I know that many plans have been passed down. But because maybe our fathers and our grandfathers were so old school or whatever the issue may have been, we knew their dirt. We knew their faults. Solomon knew his dad's dirt.
Yes, he
in fact, Solomon's mom was the one who his dad did the dirt with.
Right.
Solomon was the second son of Bathsheba. The first child died. So Solomon knew his dad's dirt, but he didn't say, because I know my dad's dirt, I ain't got to follow him. I ain't going to be in the ministry.
I'm
going to do it my way. I work my own plans.
Yes.
I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yes.
Listen to me, King's kid. So you're in the place of Solomon, prophetically speaking, right now. Some of you know your dad's dirt. You know your pastor's dirt. You know the dirt. Talking about even spiritual. You know your spiritual father's dirt. And so because of that, you've said, I don't have to walk in this way. I ain't got to do it. And I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to submit. I'm going to work my own plans. We're in modern times now. I'm going to work the ministry, and I'm going to do my plans and things. I can do bad by myself. Not so, King's kid. Solomon received plans, outlines, designs already handed to him. And here's another one. Go jump all the way down to chapter 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and verse 1 says something that a lot of us don't like to hear as king's kids. We don't like to hear this, but it's very, very true. It says, furthermore, King David said to all the assembly. He said this to all the assembly. Listen to this. My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, he said, is young and inexperienced. Man, can you take that? Can you take your father's assessment of where you are right now? He said, my son is young and inexperienced. Carol and I deal with this a lot, these generations, those of you in your 50s, 40s, 30s, in particular, 20-year-olds coming up, can't stand for nobody to treat you as if though you don't know anything. Can't stand when people treat you as if though you don't have any experience or you don't know what you're talking about. But here is David telling the assembly, my son is young and inexperienced. Some of you, you're so caught on your experience that you have had, you can't receive this word I'm saying right now. So we stop the plan to offend you, the enemy to offend you.
Right.
And to make you feel accused or condemned. No, what David was saying and what God is speaking to you is your experiences in life are not the experience that God is talking about that you have to have.
Right.
That's not wisdom. See, when he says my son is young and inexperienced, he means he does not have the wisdom of God that it's going to take for the days ahead. And so you've been so caught up and strong on, well, I've been through some tough things. How can you say that to me, Pastor? You don't know what I've been through. I'm not talking about what you've been through. Your experiences are not the experience that God says you must have in order to lead a people.
Yes.
The fact that you have grown up as a latchkey kid, the fact that you have had to make it on your own, the fact that you have been fatherless, or if your father was there, he was abusive. The fact you can just go into a long list of things that have gone wrong and been bad in your life, and you've persevered anyway. You still were successful. You still got out. You still made it through school. You still got your degrees. You still have gone on and done things without him, them.
Right.
And so you feel like, what do you mean I'm young and inexperienced? God's assessment is you are young and you are inexperienced.
You are experienced in the ways of the world, but you are not experienced in the ways of God.
Yeah.
You have done things your way and according to the world's thinking, but you have not done it according to the ways of God, the way that God thinks, the way that God does things. That's what God
That's what
talking
he's talking about.
About.
And so, and even said, well, how can you say that? You don't know where I've been in God. Well, even the very fact that it gets you angry and you get offended, that's an automatic cue that
you're
young and inexperienced. Because when you take offense and you get upset because someone says, it starts to sound like, well, you don't know where I've been in God. I've had some great experiences. God speaks to me. I recognize the voice of God. Well, again, listen to me. That's the same thing that Korah and those guys challenged Moses. They said they said the same thing.
Yes.
We hear from God.
Right.
We got some anointing.
Right.
You ain't the only one that know.
Right.
And so.
And what did God do to them?
And Moses hit the ground. The Bible says Moses just fell on his face and started interceding for them.
Yes.
Because even though they had some experience, they had not had experience with God like what Moses had been through.
Right.
Moses has had face-to-face experience
with
God.
Intimate relationship with God.
And so so they were going off of what they knew and what their credentials and things that they had gone through and victories that they had and were upset with Moses because they, you know, you taking on too much. Look like you telling everybody what to do and don't nobody know what to do but you. Well, see, you're taking on the same kind of attitude as those guys.
Yes.
And so here is the king telling his son, son, you're young. You're inexperienced.
Right.
You don't have wisdom. You have some, like my wife said, you have some things that have happened to you and you have the ways that you have developed on your own to how to cope.
Right.
You've developed coping skills.
Yes.
You've developed survival skills.
Right.
And you've even mixed in some scriptures every once in a while.
Right.
And there were times where God did come through.
Yes.
You cried out and God came through. But that is still not what this king is telling his son, a prince.
Yes.
Obviously, Solomon had been through lots of things.
Sure.
All of the assassination attempts on his dad's life and the coup when they overthrew the country and when one of his brothers, one of his brothers, Absalom, tried to overthrow the. So Solomon had been through things. He had had some horrible experiences.
Sure.
But here's his dad saying, you're young and inexperienced. What he's talking about is you have got to learn how to consistently and regularly and just part of normal life, discern
yes.
the voice of God,
yes.
the will of God
yes.
in every situation.
Yes.
That's what he's talking about. And son, you don't have that yet.
Right.
You don't know how to discern God and get his wisdom. Because
yes.
he said, because what God is, the assignment that's coming to your hand to build a house, then you are going to be, you're going to suddenly get recognition. You're going to become almost, in a sense, the center of the world.
Yes.
Everybody's going to come to you when this house gets built.
Yes.
Something's going to happen to this nation like never has ever happened before. And you don't have the experience to handle that. And I'm saying that to you. God's about to do something so incredibly different in your family and in your household. For what you need to build, your family's going to suddenly be in the spotlight. Situations and questions and divisions and things are going to come. In fact, one of the things that happened to Solomon was, you know, when those women brought that one baby and they were arguing about whose baby it really was.
Yes.
You got situations. Some of you, you're going to have to deal with the gay rights issue, with the abortions issues. You're going to have to deal with social issues. You have to deal with medical issues. But it's going to be a result of you building the house of the Lord, and you're going to have experience with God
yes.
to navigate through the things that are coming up.
Yes.
See, because right now your experiences have been, that's why I said mostly the experiences in survival, making sure I got enough money to get to the end of the week, or still trying to get some of my plans and goals accomplished in my life. You know, job, week to week on a job, changing career, buying a house, getting a car,
making connections,
things like that. But it's completely different. A whole different thing comes into your life when it's time to build the house of the Lord,
yes.
establish his ministry. In other words, to actually enter into your life's work.
Right.
Because you go from simply living each week trying to get a paycheck and getting my bills paid. And you start now, you're going to now encounter things that money can't solve.
Yes.
And some of you, you can't imagine that. You can't even imagine having to deal with stuff that money can't solve. But that's what he's calling. You're getting ready to move into a whole new realm of living
yes.
and of life. So look at these things here as we close out. So this is what it means to be a true king's kid. It must mean you have to be like Dave, like Solomon. Solomon, first of all, was one of David's sons. Recognize that you're a son.
Yes.
Then he had to humbly accept his father's assessment that I'm young, I'm inexperienced. That's what it means to be a king's kid. It also means Solomon humbly received his father's purpose. In
yes.
other words, he handed him plans. Said, son,
yes.
here's the temple and how it works.
Yes.
You ain't got to come up with nothing.
Right.
I'm handing it to you.
All the details
already were. And some of you struggle with that because you don't want nobody handing you nothing with all the details worked out.
Telling you what to
do,
how to do
it. You don't want nobody telling you what to do, how to do it. But if you're a king's kid, and Solomon was one, you receive it. This ain't about me. This is about a purpose and a plan that started before I got here.
Right.
And there's another way he had to think that's going to continue long after I'm gone.
Yes.
So
yes,
he had
yes.
to receive it. So he received his father's purpose, his plans of desire. Then he humbly received his father's provision. Do you see all that gold and silver was stored up for him?
Some beyond measure.
Beyond measure. My wife looked up some of those things. It was in the tons. I think 300 and 400 tons
yes. of gold,
of gold
silver.
And silver. Can you imagine that being available for you? But not just for you. It really was for the purpose.
For the purpose of God.
For the purpose of God. For the plan of God. That's why many have not received.
Yes.
Because they want God to give them tons of silver and gold, but
yes.
they want it for their own plans.
Right.
God, can I tell you this? God is not going to fund. He's not going to provide for anything
right.
that's not his plan and
right.
his provision. So as long as you're resisting and you don't want the plans, you don't want something already handed to you that's already in detail, worked all out, you don't want that, you want it to be what you work on and what you came up with, then God ain't going to provide for it. I'm
then
just telling you now.
You don't want the provision of God.
You don't want the provision, because here is the principle. You're looking at it right now. God will provide tons of resources for somebody that will receive his plans.
His ways.
That's what we're saying to you. And you're a king's kid. So drop all of your plans right now and say, Lord, give me your plan. Give me your designs.
Yes.
Give me the architecture design, the plan. Everything was laid
yes.
out. All
yes.
the in fact, he even already had people.
Yes.
He already had people in place.
Yes.
David handed him everything he was going to need. So he received his father's protection. He received his father's power, which is authority. Yes. And then here's another one. Then he was told by his son, now look to God as being your father, because I'm ready to pass away. So look to God. Yes. He's going to continue. He's going to be your father. Yes. So come on, King's kid. Come on, walk in. What's yours? I've been waiting all these weeks to get to this one thing to tell you this. You're a king's kid. It means God's got tons of stuff. People, resources, yes, help, everything.
All that it takes.
It's all right there waiting for you. He waiting for you to do these things. Humbly receive his assessment. Yes. I'm young. I'm inexperienced. In other words, just say, God, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. I don't know how to do this. And then he says, then receive my plans. Okay, God, you're going to hand me something and tell me, you're going to hand me stuff that it ain't my plans. It ain't nothing I worked on. It's actually something that you gave to somebody else. They're passing on to me. I've got to do my part and then pass it on to somebody else. Right. And for that, God will, he's already got tons of stuff for us.
Yeah. Just for being willing to run your leg of the race, willing to receive the baton and pass it on when it is time.
Yeah. So can you receive that today? I want to close with this. This proverb, from going all the way back to Proverbs 19, when we read that, it says, this proverb indicates three things. All of the plans of my heart are not the counsel and plans of the Lord. And I can have God's plans in my heart. Number two, I can have God's plans in my heart. But if I do not take advice from the Lord, he will let my plans fail and look for someone else who will take his counsel and take his advice. And number three, I need the counsel of the Lord to help me discern the difference between my plans and God's plans.
Yes.
Nothing is more practical, King's kids, than getting wisdom from God. Since the word for counsel comes from a root word that means to deliberate or resolve, to take advice, to take counsel, receive from a counselor or a consultant, to take or receive guidance, then listen to this. I must get free from the orphan spirit so that I can receive guidance, counsel, and advice from the Lord through the delegated authorities, be they pastors, parents, pastors, leaders, that he has placed in my life.
Yeah.
You are a king's kid.
Yes.
You are wealthy beyond what you can even imagine.
Yes,
you've got people. You can't see it. That's why we put that phrase at the end of the song that he gave us. I'm blessed beyond what I can even see.
Yes.
You are blessed beyond what you can even see, King's kid. But what you've got to do is receive.
Yes.
Receive his purpose.
And not achieve.
Now that you can't work for it. Receive his purpose. Receive God's plans for your life. Receive it. Throw yours away.
Yes.
Receive his plans. Your pastors are living that.
Yes,
we did not want to plan to anything to be pastors.
No.
Receive God's plan. We know that we are blessed. We know that abundance is already released for us.
Yes.
Even when we're in the midst of difficulty and deadlines and bills, we know because of this principle I just taught you today, there's tons of stuff waiting for us. It's already in place. People, that's why when we got to Harrisburg, he immediately connected us up with certain people and certain ministries, because it was the same thing that happened for Solomon. David had all these people and everything already lined up for him. It happened to us as soon as we got to Harrisburg.
Yes,
God already had people lined up.
Yes.
And now we're coming into the season. We're in it.
Yes.
The season where now the money and the resources are just coming to us.
Yes.
It's just coming to us.
Yes.
Because, not because of any work we did, but because we received God's plans, his designs, his details about how he wanted the ministry released here in Harrisburg. Now you can do the same right there where you are. Lord, we thank you for this time and this season of bringing us to this part of this word and this conclusion on King's Kids, that we belong to you.
Yes.
And Lord, I thank you for everyone that's listening or watching and for their ability to receive this word, that they can now lay aside all their own plans, lay aside all their own goals, and receive the architectural designs for the house that you want them to build, for the thing that you really want them to do. Thank you, Lord God, for the grace even to receive this word of being young or inexperienced, or help them to stop holding on to the things that they've gone through as if though that will qualify them for these blessings and for these provision. Lord, help them to let it go and pray the same prayer that Solomon prayed. Lord, Lord, I must have wisdom. That's what I need. I need wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. It's been our pleasure to bring you on this wonderful series on King's Kids, Understanding the Father's Heart. All right.